is the UR Business Network.
This is Irving Stackpole, and welcome to the Medical Travel Show. It is my pleasure to have as a guest today a distinguished academic in the field of medical travel research, Dr. Tricia Johnson. Dr. Johnson, can you tell our audience what your current position is there at Rush University?
Sure. Thank you, Irving. It's great to be on your program. I am the Associate Chair of Research and Education, an Associate Professor and Economist in the Department of Health Systems Management at Rush University in Chicago. Our university is a practitioner-teacher model university. It is embedded within a medical center, so we are very closely aligned with practice.
Well, that's,
I also oversee our Center for the Advancement of Healthcare Value, which is a research center focused on applied work that brings together quality, safety, and efficiency to study this issue of healthcare value.
Wonderful. That's very impressive and much needed. So how did you become interested in this whole field of medical travel?
Oh, that's a great question. And it really actually comes back to our close alignment with the medical center. Back in the mid-2000s, one of our practitioner faculty members had brought up to us this phenomenon that had been getting a lot of attention in the popular press, focused on outbound medical travel, Americans leaving the United States for medical care that was cheaper. At that time, there was very little work, even in the popular press, that had looked at outbound or inbound medical travel. My colleague, Andy Garman, who is a professor in the Department of Health Systems Management, received a grant from the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation to evaluate, at a macro level, trends in international medical travel.
Well, that's an excellent way in, especially when the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation was willing to fund your exploration. What were some of the areas you investigated in that original research?
Sure. The project really started by looking at destinations outside of the United States that were, at least from the popular press perspective, were catering to Americans traveling abroad. Thailand, Singapore, Mexico, India. And as we started to do interviews at those sites, my colleague Andy, as well as one of our faculty members, Bob Clapp, had made several site visits, we discovered that there was a grassroots group here in the United States who had been meeting for a number of years, maybe 10 to 15 years, if not more, and focused on inbound medical travel here to the U.S. And that's when we really realized that there was a huge opportunity to better understand patient flow into the United States as well as out of the United States.
And it was that domain or that dynamic of inbound medical travel that you studied based on a recent Department of Commerce grant, is that correct?
We, about 2 to 3 years into our work focused on medical travel, we worked with University Health System Consortium to apply for funding from the U.S. Department of Commerce via Market Development Cooperative Program Award. These awards, MDCP awards, are focused on increasing exports into the United States, so bringing foreign dollars to the country. Uh-huh. They had a particular focus on growing service-related industries and those exports related to those types of industries. With that funding from the government, we were able to bring together a group of hospitals here in the United States and begin to develop the infrastructure for this association that we now have that's called the U.S. Cooperative for the International Patient Programs.
So that's the acronym that I've heard used, USCIP.
We refer to USCIP affectionately rather than the U.S. Cooperative for International Patient Programs.
I see. And the group that you brought together that became USCIP, is this a follow-on or a sequelae to the grassroots group that you identified earlier?
Yes, absolutely. It really started, the structure for this group really started with this informal group who had been meeting to share best practices for a number of years. One of the limitations that they realized as this informal group is that it was difficult for them to collect data about the industry and to sustain the group long term, because it was all individual organizations hosting a meeting and doing all of that organization themselves.
Well, we know that's a lot of work, and it's thankless work. It's like doing a round robin of dinner parties. It's interesting that you've dug into this now with these two funded projects. Is one of the things that you looked at the brand of the United States vis-a-vis healthcare in these source locations?
As we looked at different countries' models for attracting international patients into their own countries, we discovered that most of the countries have a government or centralized structure that organizes and funds these initiatives. So countries like Thailand, India, Singapore have a national brand. If you look at the United States, that national brand in the past really has been missing. Individuals coming into the country would associate medical care with particular organizations, but not the U.S. as a general destination. Mm-hmm. Instead, they would be focused on coming to one or two particular hospitals. So really, until we developed USCIP, there wasn't really, I think, a national brand that had been created in any systematic way.
Well, that's an interesting phenomenon, because you have a huge country with almost 4,000 acute care general admitting hospitals, and many of the members of this group, I'm sure, are boutique, niche academic medical centers and specialty hospitals. And so it is their brands that are the most attractive. Is there a current, in your opinion, a current understanding of what U.S. healthcare represents abroad to Europeans, to Asians, to South Americans?
Oh, great question. I think the U.S. brand, people look to the U.S. for the highest quality tertiary and quaternary care. Individuals who have something that's rare, that's ambiguous, that they don't actually know what the diagnosis is, would often look first to the United States to get that care.
So you'd say that we are seen as very advanced and as the place to go to get answers?
Absolutely. I think for cutting-edge, novel treatments, the United States is looked to as the leader in both providing that care and in advancing the science, with the largest national investments in medical research and clinical research. The U.S. is at the forefront, at the lead in developing these new treatments that are often not available anywhere else in the world.
Well, the recent happily ended stay at Emory Hospital by the individuals from Africa, I can't remember their names, who contracted Ebola while working in Western Africa, that certainly pointed out the sophistication and the capabilities of even the most basic healthcare systems here. I wonder, what other insights you have? You've now done these two projects. What other insights can you share with the audience from your research and from your investigation?
Let me think. Part of what differentiates the United States from other countries in terms of the care we provide, it's not only this cutting-edge tertiary and quaternary care, but it's also the interprofessional team-based care that is very, very patient and family-focused that makes the care unique in hospitals here in the United States. I think the growing comprehensiveness of the international patient programs that every hospital that sees substantial numbers of international patients have, those offices are growing more comprehensive to really be the one-stop place from when a patient calls to when they get here to facilitate that experience. Lastly, I think another unique aspect of care in the United States is that our hospitals are leaders, and at the national level, we are leaders in producing quality data, so measuring outcomes. We, as you know, we measure everything, and we want to measure our outcomes, our processes of care, in such a way that they are standardized across organizations. And I think this is a unique aspect that makes it easier for individuals to come to the United States and know what they are purchasing.
That's certainly true. We do have a proclivity to measure things here. And that drives me to one of the questions that popped up when you were talking about this group. How many hospitals in the United States, roughly, have what you described as a comprehensive approach toward international medical travelers?
That we have about 45 members of USCIP, and those range from the large, very well-established programs that have been in existence for 25 years to programs that are relatively new. I think the common denominator across these programs is that they are offering services that supplement or complement the medical care that's being provided to ensure that the patient has an outstanding experience both before they get here as well as when they get here and when they go back home.
In another sector, those would be called wraparound services.
Right, exactly. Providing those wraparound services that enhance or complement the medical care.
And do you see the number of hospitals that are offering, developing the infrastructure and capacity capabilities to serve international medical travelers, do you see that number growing or do you see it staying the same?
I think the number of programs, so over the last 5 or 6 years, I think the focus on inbound medical travel had grown. Some programs had entered the market to kind of stick their toe in and see if they wanted to commit more resources to develop a program. Over the time, the programs that really didn't either have the resources to do so or the institutional commitment have exited the market, so that we're seeing a much more stable group of organizations focused on international medical travel.
And is international medical, for a U.S.-based provider, and I would assume that U.S.-based providers, for example, in the southwestern quadrant of the United States, would have a fairly sustainable and a robust stream of incoming consumers from Mexico and Central America. Florida might have a fairly robust stream of incoming consumers from the Caribbean and also possibly from Central and possibly South America. How sustainable and robust is this as a business, not as fundamentally a service delivery system, but as a business, is this something that hospitals will just sustain, or do you think that there's will be growing interest in developing this as a business?
We have seen from our members, we do an annual benchmarking survey, and our members almost universally over the last 3 years have demonstrated increased volumes. So I think that within those hospitals, they are continuing to grow. Over 10 years, or if we look into the next 10 years, I think where those patients come from and why they're traveling to the United States will continue to evolve. It's definitely not a static market. It is evolving as we develop new treatments, as treatments become more common and more readily accessible in other countries. Patients don't need to travel abroad for certain services or treatments once they come available at home. But at that same time, we are then developing new treatments and services. Likewise, with countries having large numbers of patients traveling to the U.S., some of them are investing heavily in their own healthcare systems. And as they develop those systems, other countries will have greater resources to send their patients abroad, but perhaps not the same level of infrastructure. I think I should re-explain this.
Part
of that should be scratched.
Well, I think actually that's pretty clear, because the hydraulics of cross-border or international travel are affected by the availability and capacity in the source location and the availability and the capacity in the destination location.
Exactly. And that, the availability and resources in other countries, in some countries, those resources and the availability of sophisticated healthcare will be relatively constant in the coming years.
Yes.
Others who are investing heavily in their healthcare infrastructure will have fewer and fewer patients traveling to the U.S.
Yes.
So I do agree with you. It's definitely a very dynamic model with the reasons people travel to the U.S. for care changing on an ongoing basis.
And we had a very an explanatory environment between the United States and Mexico, where before the recent spate of violence on the border, far more Americans went to Mexico for medical services, and the infrastructure was being developed there, very excellent infrastructure, I might add. And yet when the reputation to the safety image of Mexico was damaged, far fewer Americans went. So it's not just a matter of capacity and capability. There are several other, obviously, many other dynamics that are involved. In wrapping up, what I'd like to do is, you mentioned a benchmarking survey. If our listeners are interested in accessing that or other information that you may have available, how can they do that, Tricia?
Sure. So people could contact me directly. My email address is Tricia, T-R-I-C-I-A, _J_Johnson, J-O-H-N-S-O-N, at rush, R-U-S-H, .edu, or by telephone, 312-942-7107.
Well, this has just been an excellent, I think we've only scratched the surface, truly, Tricia. I appreciate your time. This has been an excellent introduction to our audience of the work that you do. And I would very much appreciate an opportunity for another interview with you on another program.
That sounds terrific. Irving, thank you. It's been a pleasure talking with you today. And I look forward to your future episodes.
Well, thank you very much. And once again, this is Irving Stackpole and the Medical Travel Show. Thank you for listening.
You're listening to the UR Business Network.